Are you ready? We're going to turn this on, bitch, and do a honky-tonk rundown. Let's go.
It's the Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
But first, I'm going to open up a little Steve Weiser, and then I'm going to order another Steve Weiser. That's kind of, again, the vibes I was getting, bro. I'm never going to live that down. I'm never going to let Shaboozy live that down. The crowd was looking like, what the hell is this? They just were, man.
Again, when they saw Quan, they remembered the song.
Thank God.
They allowed it to happen.
Jaquan saved the day, bro. He said, we're going to go bull riding. Rodeo. Hell yeah.
You need to go listen to some Charlie Pride, bro. We got deeper roots in country than you
well,
think.
Well, no.
Question. That was our first foray into country music.
Well, let's just say this. He is no Charlie Pride.
Dude, I bet you do go to Nashville, fill it up with white people.
Oh, he can definitely do that. That's sweet spot.
And I get the sense that is his audience.
It is.
And he was trying to introduce it to us, and he brought Quan with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
To sort of soften the blow.
That's right. Was the blow softened?
I mean, it's pretty much the same song. Everybody in the club getting tipsy. Just, he changed it to a country song. Everybody at the bar
getting tipsy.
And you've just taken it out to them, right? Haven't
That's
you?
Right. That's right.
And it's opened up a whole new revenue stream for the brother, hadn't it?
Clearly.
Very smart.
Yeah, he definitely knows.
Everybody at the bar gonna play that one. Bar getting tipsy. It's a ripoff in a lot of ways, but I'm glad he brought Quan back.
Isn't that Jaquan's joint, right?
That's the sample.
I thought it was somebody else. I didn't realize Jaquan was the same.
Yeah, tipsy. Yeah.
Did he rip it's a tipsy shot.
I'm thinking he must have paid him for the lyric or something, huh? And then you're having him on the feature.
Yeah, this is the sample.
It's the same song.
That's just what Jaquan did. Yeah.
This is really whited up right here. Because last night it was a little bit more black. It was a.
Someone bring me up a double shot of whiskey.
That's a brother. Shaboozy.
This is what people think Zach Climate's doing.
Look, but if once you get it. Body at the bar getting tipsy.
It's kind of catchy, yeah. You know, you got a fiddle in there for the.
I feel like there's a history.
Got Jason Fitz in the background.
Yeah, with the fiddle.
Everybody on the bar in tipsy.
I'm sure this man has a. He could play Nashville six nights, seven nights a week and sell it out.
Oh, I will not argue with you there.
On Hollywood or whatever that street. Yeah.
Nashville and the BET Awards is like two very different demographics and crowds.
Again, bro, we were showing how we can branch out.
Yeah, he gonna play for Hawk Tua any day? For sure, of course. But
she's probably been to a couple of shows already.
Oh, I love Shaboozy. He is so good.
He's a star.
You know, but I mean,
and
again.
He's young, too, 29, I think.
Yeah,
I think I read
that. Are we calling that young?
That's pretty young.
Okay, yeah. That makes me feel better about turning 33.
Who's the
Hold on.
Wait a minute.
Hold on, my fiddle.
Yeah, thank you.
Fitzy.
It's Fitz, bro. There's a
young lady who had moved to Nashville as a little girl. Took her 15 years to take off. And I got a
heart
like a truck. Laney Wilson. Mm-hmm. It took ask how old she was when she broke through. I think it was a little bit older than 29. She had been trying and trying and trying and
Good
trying.
Lord.
So for him to break through, yeah, I would still tell you it's young at 29.
Come on.
Younger than you. That man's ceiling higher than you with this song. Quit hating on it.
The video is funny because you got a bunch of white folks in the background on a pickup truck.
My feel is that he kind of ripped off the rap song with Quan and just took it to the.
Yeah, he took. I think Jaquan's in on the bit. I think Jaquan's getting his money.
I would think he's getting a cut out of it.
I don't think anybody was checking for Jaquan until Shaboozy had the idea. So he's like, oh, you remember. This is awesome.
So I'm assuming Quan was a one-hit wonder.
I didn't
remember that it was him on this. Yeah. I thought it was somebody else.
Yeah. So
I'm looking forward
to seeing how Shaboozy follows up this effort.
Let me tell you this. That was better than the Will Smith song.
Yes.
Will Smith?
And again, it's hard to slam it. I told John why you
just
can't come in here.
Just the two of us?
Why you know it's not just the two of us. This one was a different. It has a new name. I told you about it earlier. And typically we would slam it. It was awful. But you cannot do that on this day because he technically transferred over to gospel. He brought Kirk Franklin in, and it's really a gospel song in a lot of ways. And so you can't sit up here and dog Will's performance or whatever else. He went he kind of played it smart. He did. But I thought Shaboozy's performance was better.
Wow, that's a low bar. Damn.
That's how bad I thought Will's was.
Will should have just stuck with the welcome to Miami.
Some people might have liked it. I'm being real. It wasn't.
Well, thank you, bro.
It wasn't.
Clearly,
the song is called "You Can Make It."
Right.
It's called "You Can Make It." I'm sure it lifted some souls up.
He didn't come out to "I Feel Like Slapping Somebody Today." Faces, real
sweet faces. Well, now that was a hit right there. I don't think this is gonna be that.
"I Feel Like Slapping Somebody Today."
Slapping somebody today. They said there's a reference to that in Bad Boys, which I still haven't seen. Like him getting slapped.
Right.
That's sort of the, you know, here's you guys getting your paper.
Well, I'll tell you this: as soon as the show's over, me and Jason gonna head over to Honk Tonk, man.
No.
We're gonna go down to Tin Roof. We're going to get up on that damn bar. We're going to throw us back some. Me and Jack Daniels got a history, man. I tell you that right now.
I'm telling you, that dude probably got the CMTs lit.
Yeah.
Grand Ole Opry lit.
I think he performed at the CMTs, too. I think he did.
I guarantee you he probably did.
Yeah, for sure. But we're going to go down to the Honky Tonk, and we're going to talk about free agency. That's what we're going to do.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about the big moves that have been made.
All right.
Philly leads the way, you would say, for sure, with
number one.
Not just bringing in Paul George, but also giving, you know, as expected, $200 million to Tyrese Maxey, which is a big number, but he has certainly established himself as one of the most dynamic guards in the NBA. I think it does put him ahead of the Knicks because the Knicks obviously now have a dearth at the center position. Yeah, you can say Mitchell Robinson, but Mitchell Robinson was hurt for the majority of the playoffs. And can you really count on him? You know, from a health standpoint, you know, Julius Randle, health.
I was going to say, between the two of them, you got it licked, right? Because you got the other four spots kind of set, don't you?
Well, yeah, but I mean, we're talking about injury. We always talk about this with the Grizz. You kind of got to apply it to the Knicks, too. They haven't really shown an ability to stay healthy.
Well, they'll go get a body just because, I mean, yeah. you had the Hartenstein money that you were offering that you are now, you know, that you've still got.
Not a lot of good bodies out there to get, though. That's the issue for them. So I just think.
Well, they need Mitchell Robinson to be healthy.
I mean, look, Philly has the same concern with Embiid. I mean, you know, it's like, so it might even be a wash, but I would just put them, you know, all things equal.
Philly has all of them are all stars. And as much as I love Mikal Bridges and everything else, they don't have the all star, you know, sort of DNA that Philly has. I mean, it's three all stars, essentially, the Maxey, Paul George, and Joel Embiid. And you're going from Tobias Harris, who gave you nothing as the third guy. And he was the third guy for how he was paid to Paul George. That's big time.
Yeah,
that's an upgrade.
Yeah,
are they going to be deep enough to handle the Celtics? Don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you. I think it does put them a little bit past the Knicks.
Yeah. So
so does Vegas. Apparently,
that's probably the big move. I mean, you've got some sort of secondary deals. You know, Jonas is going to the Wizards, taking the money. Cade got a lot of money. Do we think Cade Cunningham is good? By the way, like, do we know
he's good? He's on a bad team.
Okay, I'm ready for him to lead his team to than 23 wins.
What has he got around him? There's nothing to even make better.
Jalen Duren.
Jalen's put up numbers.
I mean, Jalen Duren's good.
But he's not a throw-it-in-too-big. We're not talking about Joel Embiid here. Jalen Duren and Cade Cunningham doesn't get it done. You tell me about Ivy. What's that amounted to?
I don't know. I'm disappointed.
I think we all have been. We thought it was going to be more. So, it's a combination, but mostly bad drafting. Cade ain't got anything around him. He's put up numbers, though.
Yeah. So that's definitely, you know, a move there. We'll see where Clay goes. Some people say that Dallas is the front runner. I don't know if that's true or not. But
well, if they get him, then they are firmly ahead of you.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
I think so. Yeah, I do. I mean, I would say they're ahead. I'd put them ahead. Chris Paul, Spurs, irrelevant probably. But he is headed to San Antonio to play with Wimby. The Clippers did sign Kevin Porter Jr. Quite controversially, given his history, his criminal history.
Had he turned a corner?
I don't know. Had he? I'm not really ready to, you know.
No, that's what I'm asking. I'm asking the question, hadn't he? I'd hope that he had turned the corner, just on terms of maturity.
He must have turned the corner enough for the Clippers to sign him, I guess.
Yeah. Well, again, they got money to burn. Now,
yeah,
with no Paul George.
I mean, you know, I remember him being pretty good,
mm-hmm.
you know, when he was a Rocket, so I understand the basketball component of it, but it's just tough. It's tough when it comes with quite a lot of controversy when you make a move like that. Hartenstein got 3 years, $87 million.
Drastically overpaid, but they can afford it. They can afford to do it, and they need it.
It's one of those things where it's contextually, you know, probably makes sense to do that.
Chet was getting killed on the inside. They just didn't have anything big to put down there with
him. Exactly. So what are you playing Chet at the four?
You now? Yeah. Okay.
Jeez, that's a big team. That is a big team, bro. But so are the Grizzlies. So I kind of like it. You're matching. Like, the NBA is getting somehow even bigger now.
Well, that's why Drummond got $5 million.
Like, that's why Jaren can't be a five.
His salary actually went up.
Jaren cannot be a five in this league. Not in this version.
You'd be a good rebounding team.
Exactly.
You saw it. Literally a 25th last year.
Get crushed, bro. Get crushed. Patrick Williams, you guys, I don't know what you're doing. Five years, $90 million.
We can't get somebody to take Zach LaVine with a first-round pick added to him.
Yeah.
They said is what we're offering for people to take Zach LaVine off. We're a mess.
Everybody at the Bulls front office getting tipsy.
And we traded for Giddy.
For like straight away. You didn't even get a pick out of it.
Who couldn't even play. He was targeted in the playoffs. They couldn't even keep him on the floor. And you go trade with your best defensive piece, Caruso, or one of them, and go give OKC what? OKC making moves, bro. They're actually getting a respect burger from me later. I like the moves.
Yeah.
Caruso and Hardenstein.
Yeah.
Taking advantage of all the cap room they've got. They got a great situation.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's, it's you bathe sort of in the waters of Lake Minnetonka for so many years with MJ that, there was just going to be the pain and suffering that just you had to take with it.
Bro, we had D. Rose and Jimmy Butler for a minute after MJ.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Like, there was the Pete Myers era that was right after MJ, and it was nasty.
Y'all thought y'all would get back.
But then when we got D. Rose and Butler, bro,
yeah,
and we just couldn't beat LeBron back then.
Mm.
I think that's pretty much was our cap back then.
Exactly.
Couldn't get over the LeBron hump.
You couldn't. And you never will.
But we did kind of think that there was a new iteration that was going to take us to greatness. It just didn't. And then from there, it has been cursed.
Correct.
It has been cursed.
It has been cursed. And so now you guys are resorting to $90 million for Patrick Williams, the gardener. Has he done anything? I mean, that's egregious.
He was a florist.
Right.
Not a gardener.
My bad, bro. I mean, it don't really matter, though, does it?
Again, I think analytically he must do something per 36 or something. One of y'all's numbers.
Okay, he shot 40% from three last year. I mean, is that what 40% shooters from three are getting now, though? $90 million?
I don't know. I got to get eyes on Patrick Williams again to see if he's worth the money. Again, I'm not watching much Bulls basketball these days. I do like Io.
Yeah, Io is a competitor. I like him.
And then Kobe had a crazy season because I had written him off his whole career. White.
Yeah, that paid off. But
he had a monster season this year.
I just don't.
Again, none of those guys really affect.
It's hard to stomach paying $90 million to a guy who averages 10 points a game. I mean, wow, bro, is this really where this is going? Like, crazy. Allen Crabbe got a lot of money back in 2016. 2016, Allen Crabbe got a bunch of money. I mean, Mozgov got a ton of money. You know, every summer, every so often, there's like a round of just handing out amazing deals. Like, Allen Crabbe, I don't even know if you would realize this, but Allen Crabbe's career earnings are, I mean, it's insane, bro. His career earnings were $58 million. Allen Crabbe.
That's ridiculous.
Does anybody know who Allen Crabbe is?
Yeah, he was drafted by Portland.
He was a Portland Trailblazer.
Good on you, BC.
He was a Portland Trailblazer.
Was he in the draft when we whiffed on?
Would it have been like Wade Baldwin or something?
Yeah, that might have been Wade Baldwin.
Allen Crabbe's career averages are 9 points a game.
Yikes!
He never played more. I guess there was two seasons where he played in the playoffs for Portland, 2016 and 2017. But averaged 8 points a game in the playoffs, and this dude got $58 million, bro.
Wow.
I mean, Tobias Harris is another. Like, I don't really understand why he keeps getting these big contracts.
Well, I think Tobias is done on the big, big ones.
Bro, he got $52 million over 2 years.
That's ridiculous.
He got $52 million from the Pistons.
That's ridiculous.
Like,
they're throwing money away, though.
26
M's. I cannot believe they gave him 26
a year. What was he making with Philly?
30-something. It was 30-something. We were joking about how little they get on 30-something.
I mean, this is like money laundering.
I didn't see that he had gotten that deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think, like, oh, surely people watch enough Tobias Harris now. But he's gonna be over $300 million in career earnings. Tobias Harris, who has like never been relevant at all, like for any kind of good team. Like, I mean, yes, you could say he was a third or fourth option for the 76ers, but that dude consistently no showed in the playoffs. Like, never had a moment where you were like, oh, okay.
I guess
Tobias.
His best years were before Maxey, right? Because Maxey I mean, that's how he got all that money.
Yeah, was he always with the 76ers?
He was a Clipper.
Was he a Clipper?
Yeah.
No. Well, what? Magic not involved there?
He was a Buck, Magic, Piston, Clipper, 76er.
Jeez.
Now he's a Piston
Tobias.
Again.
Oh, he's been more places than I would have said.
Yeah.
Even though we could kind of remember all of them at some point.
I don't really remember the Bucks years. I kind of remember Magic. Don't remember the Pistons. Don't remember the Clippers.
Yeah, see, his second, third year in Philly were basically 20 points a game, 7 rebounds. Like, that's, again, before Maxey comes in there and really takes over as the two guy.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of Tobias. Were, That's how he got his money. But he's come, come down so fast.
I mean, he's just a scorer, but it's like, it's like almost
I mean, I guess it was
empty.
It was 17 and 6.5 last year.
But that's not $26 million a year,
well,
is it?
From three
surely.
Last year.
I mean.
He was 35% from three last year. His career's 37.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came way down on the shooting because he had been 39% three the year before. He came down to 35.
How about this? This is kind of crazy. His regular season scoring average is the same exact scoring average that he has in the playoffs. 16.3 points a game. It's the exact same. Like, this dude is going to get you 16 points a game for $26 million a year. He'll get you he'll get you a little 16. Crazy, bro. I mean, yeah, it's one of those things. You just look up and you're like, my God. Jazz apparently want to trade Lowry, but it doesn't seem like they're going to find a suitor here.
Well, who's going to take wise where I was going to get to with who wants Brandon Ingram?
Right.
Doesn't seem like anybody.
Well, no, because they, they know the same things we do, right? So, anyway, that's the big news in the NBA. Grizzlies still trying to get the Luke Kennard deal done. And then that probably, barring a trade or something like that, is probably going to be it.
Next story.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth diving into real quick, just particularly about that DeJounte Murray. And that's different from free agency. He was obviously traded, happened over the weekend, and it wasn't some huge price. Larry Nance, Dyson Daniels, a 2025 first-round pick and a 2027 first-round pick per ESPN. Those were the that's what the Hawks got back. Listen, I think DeJounte Murray makes the Pelicans more credible. And particularly, again, you're talking about taking C.J. McCollum off the ball, which is where he needed to be off the ball at this point in his career, and putting him back to where, frankly, he's more comfortable, which is in a shooting role, not being that guy on the ball that's charged with setting up everything else. I thought it clogged up their offense a lot of times. Hell, a lot of times you were better off with Zion Williamson having the ball in his hands as everything, top of the key, clear out. And so in bringing in a DeJounte Murray, you got a guy who's coming off career highs in points, 22.5, managed to be good in a bad situation with Trae Young, who's bringing you down every game that you get. He was still good, shot nearly 46% from the floor and a career high 36% from three on 7 attempts per game. And so you're bringing some real credit. Willie Green's getting a real piece here as opposed to some dysfunction. And a guy that I think – he comes from the Spurs organization, and you can. His defense has gone down since he left the Spurs, but look at what he's, look at where he's been. And so you get him in a situation where defense is a priority again, and hopefully you're getting that part out of it too. I think this has to signal the end for Brandon Ingram, but Woj has reported about Brandon Ingram being a trade candidate, for a while now, for months, and there just hasn't been a lot of traction. There's a couple of reports out there, but just not a lot of traction in terms of where he might go. I don't see how it all works if you've still got Brandon Ingram in the fold. I don't think it does. But if you subtract him, I think this looks good now. With DeJounte Murray bringing the ball down, C.J. McCollum just being a spot-up shooter, a lot of times Zion's going to be the guy you're clearing it out for. Like, there's a lot to like about what the Pelicans did. You already love Willie Green.
Love Willie Green.
And we know they've got a front office that said, look, we're committed to shaking this thing up. We saw it last year. We've got to make a big jump And as Griffin said it, what he said, the most historically most competitive West we've ever seen, and they're putting their resources where their mouth is in terms of making this trade for Murray. So I don't like it in terms of, again, a Western Conference team like the Grizzlies. You're looking around, you want teams that you can point to and say are beneath us. I think DeJounte Murray, again, gives them credibility.
Yeah, I mean, I just...
Assuming Brandon's moving on.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like with him, it's not totally different than B.I. because what winning has DeJounte contributed to.
Again, dude's just a shot taker, though, and you would admit no one can win in Atlanta with Trae Young.
Yeah.
Right?
No one. Like, other than that weird year where they got to the Eastern Conference Finals.
And there wasn't anything for him with the Spurs to win with, right?
Right.
And so when's he been in a situation where that was, conducive to winning?
Right.
Nowhere. And so, again, we still like Willie. Zion took a step last year, but he gets hurt in the playoffs, can't even play, so it's really the same old story. But that didn't look good last year with CJ, B.I., and Zion. They knew they had to make a change, and they're making a pretty drastic one. I just give them credit here for being aggressive. I think you have to be in the West right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Can't stand Pat in the West.
I mean, look, I just for the Grizzlies, I just don't know that move was out there, right? I don't think they really, what could they or should they have done? In this summer, right?
Acquire Jared Allen, take a chance.
That's a big one.
I get that, but money-wise, it would have been the same thing as you're paying Marcus Smart. I mean, that represents to me an aggressive. However, we know from Woj's reporting, too, that they went after Mikal Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've tried to be aggressive here. Mm-hmm. They've tried to go kind of all in, so perhaps a Jared Allen deal wasn't possible. Perhaps a Cleveland wanted too much. Maybe you never were on the phone. But my point is, and you made a great one. The Smart move, they can argue is a big move for us that we still have not seen.
Right.
And so you can kind of say we haven't seen it yet. We've made our move. Let's see where we fall.
Yeah.
But I'd still feel better if there was another veteran big in there.
Yeah, I mean,
even a low-paid one.
I mean, I think that will come. I just don't know. Again, it's not going to be one where
who's your guy in Orlando?
Goga Bitadze or whatever.
Yeah, somebody.
Wiseman or, somebody like that. I think that's
Precious says, somebody asked me about, he's 6'8", plays bigger, but we're talking about having the big option next to Jaren.
Yeah.
And I love Precious to death, but I don't think he's the fit for
Agreed.
What we're talking about right here.
Agreed.
That's really a backup to Edie. Again, maybe they see Jimison as that on the two-way. We know that's limited, in terms of number of games he can play for you. So
yep.
I'd still like to see a veteran big.
Yeah.
I'd feel more comfortable.
Yeah, so I think
less on Edie.
I think that's the sell, and I do think it's a good one. I think when you saw the majority of that group and that core minus Smart because you haven't, but we know the Grizzlies are a top two seed. They can be. They have been. And all of it's clicking. So
I'm telling you too, the Pelicans had the same problem with Jonas that the Grizzlies had. They need Zion. When Zion has the ball at the top of the key, they need the clear out. They don't need the lane clogged. And Jonas would do that. A lot of times that's why he wasn't playing there. He'd either get play off the floor defensively, whatever else. But a lot of times it was just because he clogged the lane in
right.
the same kind of way that he clogged it with Ja. And they need that thing open for Zion. Because he's a lot of times he's just clearing out, going one-on-one, everything else out there. And so them moving on from Jonas is actually smart for them. We said the same thing when they got him. Would it create the same issue? Zion needs that lane, and so, moving on from Jonas. And tip of the cap to him, he goes and gets the money, but boy, will he do some losing with Washington.
Yeah, he will, but he'll get the ball a lot, and so he'll be happy.
And keep his wife and family happy.
Yeah.
But he ain't, he'll come nowhere close to winning.
I mean, how Jonas is, bro. He's a simple man. He just wants to touch the ball in the paint. And if he doesn't...
Well, tell Edie we ain't doing that.
No, Edie's cool, bro.
Bro, he just got fed about 60 times a game. You're telling me now he ain't going to have a little...
I think Edie's
a guy. Little throw me the ball more.
I think he'll enjoy the help. That's what I
believe. He sounds dedicated. He acts like he gets it. But come on, that's a huge change.
Yeah.
From what you're used to in terms of the amount you're going to get the ball in the post.
Well, until the last 2 years, it was not like that.
But it's 2 years. Two full years.
Yeah,
he's the focal point.
Yeah, and you know what? He's going to have to adjust, and he's a very intelligent mature young man.
Are you saying Jonas didn't? Why did Jonas didn't want to?
No, Jonas is stubborn.
If we're making
bro.
The comparison,
Jonas is stubborn.
So how you know Zach Edey ain't got some stubbornness
because,
in him that we just haven't seen yet?
Because I know him better, and
I'm making a fair argument
no,
here.
No, it's not fair. It's
if
not
you're
fair
gonna
at all.
Say that about Jonas, it could be true of Zach. We don't know yet if he's willing to accept the role.
Jonas was that in the league
because
right?
you got to be more Steven Adams than you do Jonas. That would be literally what you're telling Zach Edey. Is he going to be fine with that?
Yeah, Jonas
and staying committed.
Jonas was like that. As a professional, right? He got used to a certain type of way as a professional where, yes, it is going to be harder to break him out of that. Zach Edey is coming in. I think his mindset is, what I did in college, as accomplished and decorated as my career was, it doesn't matter anymore. It's starting over completely with a blank slate. All those trophies, all those All-Americas, all those, you know, double-doubles and points and all that, it doesn't matter. I'm coming over completely hat in hand, and I'm going to do whatever I need to do to help this Grizzlies team win. He knows he's not going to be a back-to-the-basket guy and getting fed in the paint from Ja. He knows that. He's got to know that. If you watch 10 minutes of the Memphis Grizzlies when they're at full strength, you understand that you're not getting that type of usage. I don't think he wants that usage. I think he just wants to contribute, bro. And Jonas wants to contribute as long as Jonas is the one doing it. So... That's where I think the fundamental difference is with those two guys.
That's fair. Your argument is that you will train Zach.
Yes, I think because
train him
he's
to
a
be
rookie.
The role player
he's a rookie,
that fits.
So you're going to be able to, you know, he's a little bit more.
I thought he was Godzilla. You know, and there's no containing
Godzilla
or controlling.
Was young.
You
once.
Called him Godzilla. Said it got.
No, I mean that's the thing.
Said you don't control Godzilla. It's a bad. Now you see how bad an analogy that was for what you're asking
Godzilla
of him.
Godzilla, who will take instructions.
The Brontosaurus will sit in there and do what you want him to do.
Like you could just push over the Brontosaurus, bro. You cannot. There's no pushing Zach Edey around. It's 7'4", 300.
You were wrong on Godzilla for what you're saying
now
he's today.
And he can take instruction
and you didn't think
well.
You didn't think I'd kept receipts, but I have.
It's like the trained dinosaur.
Godzilla wouldn't listen to anything you're telling him. Yeah, he'd knock over the buildings and demand the ball.
He's definitely not Godzilla, but he's definitely not a Brontosaurus. He's somewhere in the middle. You know, we're going to have to find a little bit of an in-between for Zach. I don't know what that is. But I think you're going to be
the sound of shooting in the background. I thought I heard some bullets.
That's Hartenstein right there. They're trying to circle around. They're circling around our man Zach Edey because they can see him coming.
A Kraken. That is Godzilla under when he's, and that's the start of guys like Kraken sound type.
Yeah, so, I don't think you could use Godzilla in terms of promotion.
You can't, Brad. You understand that we're
copyright.
Yep, and I think Connor sided with me last week that we like Brontosaurus better. Now, as John just said. That may not apply.
Yeah, because that's too passive. He's not going to be passive.
You'll have to be passive. Conversation.
When he's playing with Ja.
No, he doesn't have to be passive. He
Bro,
has to be
your
intentional.
Your job is to set screens.
He has to be intentional. And he's going to do that. He's going to do that.
Do not be asking for the ball like Jonas did.
Bro, he is not. I mean, you just got my man Zach all wrong, bro. He's not going to do that.
You act like you know him.
Oh,
you
I
don't.
Do.
We
I
don't know what's what. We know what he says.
I know.
They all say the right thing as rookie. Wade Baldwin told you all the right things.
No,
that inside that brother's brain, bro. Do not dismiss the interview you had, the off-season interview you had with
Where
him
he talking
about
golf?
Understanding and turning the corner.
Yeah, dude.
Okay?
But that was just us
and
telling ourselves,
said.
Like, we, oh, he's
no,
got it now.
Oh no, you thought Wade convinced you, and it's one thing to say those things. It's another thing when that's not in your brain.
Yeah,
and this young man has been fed. He has been fed and fed fully these last 2 years. You going to tell me you just giving him little spoonfuls now in that big 7'4 body,
bro,
and he just going to be okay with it?
Yes, because he wants to make it.
Yes, smaller doses.
Yes.
No, big boys don't think like that.
Man, he's going to do what he is asked. He is not going to work outside of that.
Right.
I truly believe that. I mean, I could look stupid.
I just don't know how you're so sure. That's all I'm saying. That's my only
because
argument.
He,
my hope is Zach Edey, and I expect him to.
Because he was coached by Matt Painter. He came from a very solid program and a very good coach, and I think that these habits that he has learned. And by the way, he just started playing basketball 6 years ago, so it's not like he has this sort of arrogance about who he is or what he's supposed to be. You know, I think he's very appreciative and grateful of the platform that his hard work, yes, has given him. But he wants to continue to prove that he is deserving of being selected ninth. I think that's his life's mission, is to prove the doubters wrong. I belong. and I'm going to be whatever this franchise and this organization needs me to be. If they want me to be a screen setter, the best screen setter in the NBA,
that's first.
I'm going to be that. Yep. If they want me to be a
offensive rebounder, I don't know if you got the foot speed to get to the basket. Well, I really don't.
He's going
to
prove you wrong. He's going to prove you wrong.
Ja gets in there. He gets in there quick.
He does.
Passes quick.
And that's great for
Ja. Let's not act like this is clinging, soaring above the basket here that you know could catch it.
I'm just saying. I saw him give Kling in the Blues, 37-10. They went one-on-one. They said, we're going to let Zach Edey go one-on-one, and Zach Edey destroyed his ass. And he destroyed his ass. It's really a shame that he didn't have a single player on his team above 6'1". Because if he did, they would have matched up with...
That's Matt Painter's recruiting. Go out there and do better.
His team was...
You know, it fell off after Ivy, didn't it?
He had to be that guy because his team was so lacking everywhere else. He had to be that. He didn't have a Ja Morant. He wasn't the guy when it was Jaden Ivey. It was Travion Williams, so we'll never know. But he wasn't the guy then. He had Foster Lawyer, who, by the way, is who got you out of your ticket when you got it, your speeding ticket downtown. He had Braden Smith.
I didn't get a speeding ticket.
Braden, but I'm saying, though, that's the guy who you call Foster Lawyer. He's going to get you off of it, okay? Mm-hmm. They had Braden Smith, who he's a gamer. I'll give him that. And he's a good college basketball player. But he and I are the same size. You know, Lance Jones was playing at Fort Wayne, bro, the year before. He was playing at Fort Wayne. He was playing with... I mean, respectfully, compared to what he's going to be playing with next year, bums.
Okay.
He's upgrading to an absolute machine now with Ja and Bane and Jared. Bro, it's scary to me. It's scary to me.
Well, you need to calm down a little
bit. It is scary to me.
They're not a one seed, so calm down.
They're not a one seed, but
they may not be a two, and they did that two straight years. That's what I'm saying. Just calm down.
Zach Edey's going to make you proud. That's what I believe.
He's going to make you proud. Really going...
Yes.
Proud, like rock clapping and
Yes. You're gonna look up in 2 years. You're gonna say
Rudy. What's that movie?
Rudy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like rocks clapping. Yeah. That's how I'm gonna be proud.
Yeah. You're going to say in 2 years, that was a damn good pick, and Zach Edey's a great fit for this team.
Yeah.
That's what you're gonna say.
Pray for no stress fractures in that big old foot.
And yeah, look, that's gonna be. I'm more worried about that than the whole idea.
Especially
the
way you're about to run him out there.
Yeah, well, that's true. He's going to play a lot of minutes, probably more than he thought. I think the biggest concern with Zach is just durability, which he was. He was very durable. What, he missed two games his whole career in college, all 4 years? You know, I mean, he's playing 40. He was giving you 40.
To me, that's a red flag.
Dude, it means it's coming. Has Donovan Clingan ever played 40 minutes in his career? Absolutely not.
No.
And Zach Edey was doing that to your ass.
He was doing that all tournament long. Don't try to hold Donovan's medical history against him now. Don't act like you wouldn't have taken him first if you had a chance to get up to
six. I'm just saying, he's the one that actually did have the foot injury, not Zach. Zach was giving you 40. And he was also giving you 40 points, 40 and 16 on your head, on your head.
Is there anything 7'4", 300 running around the league right now? Go. That's effective.
Nope, he's one of one.
The answer
he's
is
one of one.
No.
There will be in
they
about
don't
6 months.
They last in this
there
league.
There will be in 6 months.
And while I'm not hating on this pick, it is a fair concern to ask if a guy of that size can hold up, especially to the degree that you're about to be using him with no backups in there other than Jimison.
They're going
to
get
a backup. Is he going
to
hold up over the league at this pace?
Well, they can't. They cannot.
I felt better when it was in a role.
It's going to be a role. He's going to be, but he's going to start. It's going to be a starting role.
There ain't 7'4s, 300s running around. They last about 5-6 years.
That's right. And that's why it's such an advantage for the Grizzlies now to have him, because there's nobody that can check him. You can't do it. I mean, he makes other people look like small children. I mean, it's going to be exciting, bro. It's going to be, I got my, we're getting.
Where's your season tickets at?
Well, I'm about to say, we got a call in today.
I can tell. My gosh.
We got a call in today.
You should call. How giddy you are. You're doing their job for them over there.
I mean, I'm excited about the Grizz. I bet on the Grizz to win the title at plus 5,000.
Well, that's you just throwing money away.
No, it was a bonus bet, so I was like, why not sweat it? And actually, it's not plus 5,000 anymore. It's like plus 2,500 or plus 3,000 now. So obviously, that was a great bet.
Maybe
you know,
again, value.
It's really easy to like this team. It's really easy to root for this team. It's really easy to see a scenario where you look up and they are a top three seed if everybody's healthy. I think it's very conceivable because other teams are going to be trying to still fit some things in, figure some things out. You know, the Clippers are going to drop back. The Warriors have a lot of questions they have to answer. OKC was already the one seed, right? They were already the one seed, so they could sort of go back to that. Minnesota should pick up where they left off, but Denver lost a critical piece. How are they going to respond? What are they going to do?
Now, all that sounds great, and I'm with you. If Zach Edey goes down, you drop back to being a bad rebounding team.
Oh, it's rough.
Period.
Can't afford to lose him.
Period. That's how much is riding on this dude for now. Other you're going to get Jimison back in there.
I don't want to live that again.
That gets you 25th in the league in rebounding. That's not going to hold up in this West. So, again, we all understand, a lot riding on Zach Edey, maybe more than we initially thought. Okay, let's go from there. Mm-hmm. But understand that. He goes down, you go down.
Yeah, no, I agree there. They got to do
that's
something.
That's a lot. That's
they
a lot on them big 7'4 shoulders.
They got to get, they'll get a veteran backup big. They
need it.
They have to.
Need it.
For that reason alone. I've got an interesting stat that I want to share with you on the Memphis basketball team.
Next story.
So, as we know, Memphis lost David Jones in the draft. He's on a two-way with the 76ers, and they have yet to replace him. They obviously, you know, I guess kicked the tires, you would say, on Arthur Kaluma, who wound up going to Texas. It wound up being too much money, right, for the production that you were getting. And I don't blame him for that. I know you need a wing. I know you need a replacement for David Jones. But the idea that, you know, Arthur Kaluma was asking for the money that he was asking for, I'm okay. I'm good. He was the most inefficient player in college basketball at his size and his usage. And he also was the best player for Kansas State last year. They did not make the NCAA tournament. That's not the guy I want, right? That's not the guy that I think this program needs right now.
Mm-hmm.
You need somebody that directly impacts winning. And now, if their price tag is high, it's fine as long as they impact winning directly. And Kaluma did not do that last year. He just didn't. So I'm fine Pat taking a pass on him. It does sort of bring into sort of, I mean, you talk about the Grizzlies, and if they're sort of where they are, is this where they're going to be? I definitely think the same is true of the Tigers. I don't really think there's much they can do in the way of adding somebody that would contribute. They can add depth. They can add a piece here or there, which they will. But I think their starting lineup is set. I mean, I'd be shocked if it's not. P.J. Haggerty, Tyrese Hunter.
Kobe Rogers.
Jordan. And then Danger. That would be your five right now. And then you have Moose off the bench.
Tyreek Smith off the bench.
Yeah, Smith off the bench.
Okoji's
he's hurt, right? He might.
He'll be ready for the start of the season. Okay. It'll just be right up on it. But in terms of depth, he'll be there. And he's development, obviously, too. But they expect him to play.
It's kind of a rough bench, honestly. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be – I think Penny's going to lean really heavily into that starting five this year. I don't think you're going to see a very deep rotation. He could surprise me, but I don't see it. But the interesting stat here is Memphis is only going to be returning 10% of their starting minutes, or excuse me, not starting minutes, minutes altogether. 10% of their minutes altogether from a season ago. And that's all Nick Jordan. That's it, right? If Caleb Mills gets a waiver, you know, that could add a little bit to the percentage, but he only played in 14 games, so it wouldn't change a whole lot. So basically the reason why I bring this up is in the age of the transfer portal, which started in 2021, that season, no team has ever made the NCAA tournament returning 10% or less of their minutes from the previous season.
Oh, great.
It's never happened. Now, that's a pretty small sample size, granted, and I would bet you that most of the schools that are only returning that number of returning minutes – are probably first-time head coaches, right? Like, they're new, or at least new to that school. So you're flipping it over. They're not great situations. But, again, that's not exactly the company I would want to be in, right? So if Memphis makes the NCAA tournament next season, given that this is the second straight year that they flip their roster, they would become the first team ever in the age of the transfer portal to do that while, again, only returning 10% of their minutes from last season. Lunardi does have them as a 9 seed, but I am not nearly as confident. I don't think they will be the favorite in the AAC. I think they'll be co-favorites with UAB. I don't think they will be the pick, though. I think they'll have to share the preseason honors with UAB next year.
Yeesh.
And so I think again, I don't think it's like that. Like, it's not that shocking. You know, I mean, you're turning, you know, 10% is not, it's nothing, basically. So it's not really that shocking of a stat. It does just sort of, I think, remind people that it should remind people that to assume that this team is making the NCAA tournament next year, I think is probably not the right thing to do. Just again, we're using history in the roster context. As I hope they do, but I wouldn't say they're a favorite to do that. They're very clearly an underdog to do that, based on how much they lost and how much they're, you know, kind of starting from scratch, so to speak, a brand new starting lineup, right?
I mean,
and Jordan was not starting. I mean, it wasn't like he was a full-time starter by any stretch of the imagination. So it's a brand new team. And when it's a brand new team, you don't really know how that will go.
No. What interests me, too, now more so than it did at one point, because I'd kind of closed the door on the idea of Caleb Mills getting that extra year of eligibility, and you and Parth talked about it this weekend over the Daily Memphian. Do we know for sure? I guess we don't, because it's basically from what Penny said in that interview with Memphis Shelby County Schools. Are they focusing on that Houston year? They have to be, right? Because you're not getting a medical red shirt for the 14 games. Caleb Mills played too much last year. And so you had brought this up, and I think you even did it on the air. You did it with us last week. But is it that year at Houston where he only played the four games? And if we are focusing on that year, is that reason for increased optimism? Or should we be keeping the optimism level low here? Because there was at one point a time where all the beat writers checked in after the season, and Memphis's compliance department was saying, no, he has no eligibility left. Something they once said about DeAndre Williams, and it turns out after then going and trying to get the waiver, turned out to be true. But I just my question, I'm framing it, is there increased optimism? Do we know for sure that they're going after that year where he's at Houston for the four games?
I think so, yeah.
Because there's some stuff apparently to his absence.
Yes.
There's some question marks, right, about why he was gone, and there were some Kelvin Sampson remarks. Saw y'all had in your piece about, you know, sort of, I just want him comfortable as, you know.
Yes. That's so, what Kelvin said. So,
just wondered if there's a renewed optimism based on the fact that it looks like they're appearing that they have to appeal that year as opposed to his last year at Memphis, where we knew because you have to, if you play more than 30%, you can't get the medical red shirt.
Yeah, I think that's.
Because if it goes back to the roster, Caleb Mills can help this, what we just talked about, a great deal.
He could. He wouldn't take it from.
I feel a lot better about tournament chances where you just were. And how shaky I think you and I just were on feeling about tournament. I'd feel better about tournament chances if you got a defender like that in there. You know, he's healthy. Obviously, we're assuming that. But, you know, a sacrifice guy back in there. And, again, it adds to what you said about, you know, the only returning men you got right now are Jordan. So you would have Caleb Mills, a guy that was integral part.
Yeah.
And it fell apart.
Yeah. No, I mean, it would help. Anything would help, honestly, at this point.
Not asking if the chances of a waiver. We know. I'm with you. You said it. The NCAA right now, you just go to you put a default setting that you're not going to get it.
Yep.
Like the way you put that. And that's probably the case. But I just wonder if we're talking about that year at Houston where you only played the four games, maybe. You know, maybe there's a chance.
Yeah.
I feel like they need it, John, based on the conversation we just had with where the roster is.
I'll say there's a chance. I would definitely.
Most times I'd say, you know what, maybe fewer options for Penny is better. That way you force him into a shorter rotation. But a guy like Caleb Mills, I know what he brings.
Exactly.
And even if it's at a lower capacity because of the coming back from the nature of the injury, that dude's useful. Both, you know, practice, games, situations, everything.
Yeah.
If there's a way, he would certainly be beneficial.
Yeah, agree totally.
Especially with his roster. Let's shout. It's a little shout.
It is. I mean.
Because let's be real, you put it together. Assuming David Jones would be back.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, and that's what they're missing.
That leaves a hole, bro.
They're missing that scorer, right? They're missing that.
I guess Colby can be, I guess. I mean, what, you know, Colby can be that from the three?
I mean, it's a lot to ask.
Haggerty averaged 20-something last year.
Haggerty averaged 20-something.
Between him and Colby, those are your two leading scorers, no?
Yeah.
Did I read from you? You thought Tyrese Hunter might actually be a guy.
I think Tyrese is probably the better, the more trustworthy candidate.
I thought Goodman said he didn't get any better, but then I read your piece said he shot the best he'd ever done from three or whatever.
His percentages were his highest last year.
Remember Goodman told us last week?
Scoring averages, his shooting percentage from the floor, you know.
Yeah,
so,
we should have thrown down Goodman's
face. And he was the third option behind Disu and Max Asmus last year.
Haggerty's usage, I know it was Tulsa, I know it was a losing situation, but it was way up there, though, bro. If Tyrese is option one now.
Well, I'm not saying he's the first option, but I'm just saying that Haggerty's usage is not going to be what it was at Tulsa. So that's coming down.
It has to be because you're playing with a real point guard now.
Like, I mean, I know I might be on an island here, but the whole P.J. Haggerty being your best player thing, I am extremely skeptical about. I just am. I saw that last year. I saw what that was. I mean, yeah, the players he'll be with at Memphis are better, but I am almost positive that I watched him and Tulsa lose to Arkansas Little Rock. Like, that happened.
I'm sure, bro, but he single-handedly destroyed them last year.
But everybody cooked Memphis. I mean,
That's fair. That's fair. Like, their defense was awful.
It wasn't like this was like a.
But again, he had like the in terms of getting the free throw line and everything else. I mean, he was up there with the best in the country.
Yeah, I mean, dude, PJ Haggerty had eight points against Little Rock. I mean, and a loss.
Well, you shut down one guy. That maybe who was that down there? Daryl and Preston Laird put that thing together.
I mean,
that defense just got to shut down one guy and have any help. We couldn't do it.
And was his assignment Jameer Chaplin for the other team? Because if it was, that man had 27 and 15 on him. You know, again, I don't know. So this whole, assumption that P.J. Haggerty is just going to come to Memphis and do exactly what he did at Tulsa, I'm not with that.
No, but I'll take 17. What do you average, 21 at Tulsa?
So you're just going to give him a 4-point drop? I think he could drop a lot. I think he'd go from 20 to 13. I think he could.
Hold up. Give me the scoring averages of the top three guys if he's averaging 13.
Kobe will be at 13 and Hunter will be at 13. I think it'll be balanced. It'll be a balanced look. Dane's going to have to get his shots.
Boy, he better be averaging double figures
He'll average 11. And then Jordan will average 9, you know, 8, 9. And then you have Musa coming in and give you a good 6. You know, it's going to be a low-scoring team, bro. It's going to have to be. It's going to look like those that COVID year Memphis team, that last one that Musa was on, what they averaged that year. It wasn't a lot, right?
I don't think so.
Memphis is going to have to get very comfortable playing games in the 60s and low 70s. There's no doubt about it. Because they're not going to be able to – they don't have a legitimate, proven-only score guy like they'd have had the last 2 years with Kendrick and David Jones. P.J. Haggerty is not that, bro. I'm not trying to be a Haggerty hater here. But I am trying to be realistic.
You're being a Haggerty hater.
No, I mean, you guys have fallen in love.
To.
You guys have fallen in love. Understand, I'm not saying you, but a lot of people have fallen in love with the guy who was Tulsa's best player, who got a million shots a game, and who helped them win 14 games. I mean, I'm not all in on that situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see a world where that doesn't look that good. Now, I know people have said that Haggerty and Dane are going to be Kobe and Shaq at FedEx Forum. I get that. And some people are higher on PJ than I am. But we're just going to ignore the fact that Tulsa only played one Power 5 team last year. And by the way, Haggerty really struggled. We're going to ignore the fact that he had 8 points in 38 minutes against Little Rock in a loss. Like, these are concerns for me. These are concerns for me. I don't just assume that PJ Haggerty's going to come here and, oh, man, it's on. It's up now. It's up now that PJ Haggerty's on the team. That man was on Tulsa. Of course he's going to average 20 points a game. The folks sucked.
Did he have any big performances against the better teams?
No, bro. He had the 27-point game against Memphis. Everybody had 27 points against Memphis. Bro, if you had a pulse and you walked into the gym, you had 27 against Memphis off the rip. You know you started with 10. If David Jones was guarding you, you started with 10. Mm. So, no, dude, his best game was against Memphis.
What did he do against UAB? That's important. You said they're going to be co-favorites.
All right, let's see.
21-1. I see one.
What's the one for?
I see one game. He went 9-11 from the free throw line. He had 21 points. Yes, in 38 minutes. I mean, that's who you're going against.
Okay, he had 32 against USF. He had 32 against USF.
They may have only played UAB the one time.
Yeah, he had 21 and a loss. I mean, again, like, that's the thing. He had 25. He had 25 in a loss against FAU. You know, he had 30 against Rice.
Well, we need him against Rice, don't we?
Apparently so.
Now we do.
Apparently so. He had 14 against Oklahoma State, where they lost by 15, and he shot 31% from the floor. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, again, he could be more like the Rice in Memphis. He could be more like that. He could be like the 29, and he did get more efficient as the season went on. I'll give him that.
But yeah, we're talking about a freshman.
But again, it's like it's so hard for me to ignore the context of the situation.
I think context is important.
Like, Tulsa had nobody else.
Well, this is a much better set aside the conference portion of it. The non-conference portion of it is about to go crazy.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be over there against potentially UConn's and North Carolina's and everything else over there in Maui and, you know, everything you've got going to Clemson, Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, that's a you know, you compare non-conference schedules last year, they didn't play much of anybody.
And I'll say this, there were a lot of games where P.J. Haggerty had no threes.
Well, he didn't shoot it but 28%. Like, that's not
right.
His strength.
Well, that's a huge problem. I mean, especially against
good teams. That's why we got Tyrese and your boy Colby.
Well, Tyrese is not a shooter either. So, I'll be interested to see.
I thought it was career high.
Well, from the floor, not from three, though. I mean, he's going to try. He and PJ kind of do the same things in terms of trying to get to the rim and get downhill. I mean, Colby is going to, like, bro, it's all on you. And
well,
I guess Jordan.
And Jordan could shoot his 40% on play.
But this is sort of where it's going to hurt Memphis. Like, they don't have that consistent shoot. Like, Colby's going to be the only shooter on the team. Like, this is not great. I mean, it's just not. Could it be enough to win the AAC and win the conference tournament? Yes. It could be, but you can sort of start to see what's lacking, right?
You've always been light on the wing if you weren't going to have David Jones back.
So
that's where they're light.
I mean, I just, you know,
Haggerty's going to be better than you think, though.
I hope so. I mean, if he's
they're still light on the wing. They're still light,
right? I mean, hopefully he can have a better year from three. You know, if he can have a better year from three, I don't think the scoring numbers are going to be as good as they were for him a year ago. I just don't think it's going to be that for him. Tyrese Hunter expects the ball. Kobe Rogers expects the ball. So, you know, he can't just look them off and just say, hey, I'm going Tulsa mode on them. You know what I'm saying?
He's going to be the lead scorer, man. 16, 17 a game. That's where I'm at.
I think it's going to be a little bit more balanced. That's my thought.
Seth, we going from 21 to 13.
I'll give you 14. 21 to 14. Better team, bro. It's a better team. There's more mouths to feed. Dane expects shots. He did not come to Memphis to not be utilized. Colby expects shots. He picked Memphis over Kansas and Alabama. Tyrese, like, played in the is the only guy on the team that actually on the perimeter that was in a Power 5 league last year. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Man is not, sir. Respectfully, you come from Tulsa. I mean, I was at Texas last year. We made the tournament. We won a game. Please give me the rock. I mean, it's just, you know what I'm saying? He's got to be realistic.
You know that again. You knew it when you saw him. When you saw him tearing up Memphis, and yes, Memphis' defense wasn't great, but you said that's one of them dudes Penny needs to go after.
Oh,
that's
sure.
What you said. That's what
but
you said.
Let me ask you this.
And yes, all your points
are fair. You
didn't
say that as the best player.
And it was against a bad schedule and all that, and the three-point percentage is an issue. But your eyeballs told you P.J. Haggerty's a good one. I think he's going to be a good one here. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Maybe. And it may be in a balanced attack. But I think he's going to be effective.
We'll see. I do think Memphis is going to have to change the way it plays, though, to win games next year. That's not a bad thing, right? I mean, the way that they played last year was not successful. Well, right? Like, so if they can get back to defense first, which is typically where Penny has been his most successful – that's not a bad thing. I don't say that as like, oh, because I tell you this, it ain't like the high-flying, high-scoring, high-octane offense was leading you to wins or increased attendance, right? It ain't like that was making a damn bit of difference. People want to win. People want to go to the NCAA tournament, you know? I mean, that's the bottom line. So however you got to get there, that's all that matters, you know? And I do think their defense can be much better. It's hard to be worse. And so you just have to win that way, getting stops, as opposed to, you know, scoring 95 points a game. Those days are over, thankfully. I did not enjoy them.
Well, for this year.
Yeah, two years ago it was fun because, you know, you had the best player on the court most of the time in Kendrick Davis. You know, and we know, well, like, that should have been more. And it would have been more. You know, if not for a botched call and an unfortunate turnover and unfortunate...
Well, and bad defense.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things.
It wasn't all on the refs.
No, it wasn't. But damn, bro, if we could have just got that one, we'd have been straight.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, interesting season coming up for Memphis basketball. We'll come back. Jason Fitz is going to join us at 125, talk to him about the draft and more. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
92.9 FM, ESPN is Memphis's sports station and the biggest name in the Mid-South, online and on the phone, thanks to Odyssey. The Odyssey app at 92.9ESPN.com. Smart speakers simply say, play 92.9 ESPN. Thanks so much for making us Memphis's sports place. We wanted to build something special where you could come and listen, enjoy, and have some fun. It's a legacy of sports in Memphis. On the Odyssey app, say to your smart speaker, play 92.9 FM ESPN. Memphis is number one place for sports. This is WMFS-FM and HD.